Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating Loving the Movement, hosted by Anaya Betts and Reginald Clemens. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups whom have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom, from mass incarceration, through efforts for justice reform, and in society at large. We've been covering a lot of ground in these shows and talk about things that are real personal to different people. And one of the things we've been striving to do is try and cover a story about a guy named Roger Keaton. For whatever reason, God has put his name on my heart and soul, and for me to get his story out there. It's symptomatic in the, it's a pattern within the prison system and the government of not taking care of the people that they're supposed to care for. And it's a dangerous thing when the people who have decided to take control of an individual's life does not care about that individual to the point of criminal neglect. And criminal neglect is even worse when there's zero accountability. We've seen situations like that throughout history where somebody's ego and their ability to allow themselves to descend deeper and deeper into their sadistic hunger for more and more pain and suffering and torture of others. And to them, it's not even sick. It's like a person living in a house where there's an odor in the house. Let's say there's bad meat in the freezer down in the basement, and it's leaking into the house. That odor is leaking into the house, but they don't smell it because they've gotten used to it. And it's the same way with patterns of abuse and neglect. People who are abused and neglected didn't start out that way. It started out with something wrong. And that's why people who beat their kids, reason, this is one of the reasons that spank, a lot of people don't like.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Or corporal punishment to be a part of child rearing. And it's because a lot of adults will whoop their children out of their passions or their anger. You should never spank your child when you're angry. You should give it time. And there's a lot of tricks and different ways to give it time. One of the ways to give it time is to wait till you calm down enough to explain to the child in a way that the child can understand why they're about to get a spanking. And give them a time out before you give them the spanking. Because that time out is for that child as well as you. And it's for them to sink in that they're about to get a spanking, and for them to evaluate what it is just high. And why and what it is that they did, so that they can evaluate and understand the cause and effect of their actions. And that should be the whole purpose of chastising a child, either physically, verbally, or with punishments, through tasks that they can learn something from. I'm on the fence sometimes about whether or not to spreaderize for the child, because I see what has happened when we spreaderize. Also, though, I see what happens when people go overboard with spankings and abuse, and that's the only thing that they have, because those spankings can lead to abuse. And it can go from spankings to a parent feel like the child still is listening after spankings, to not letting the child eat, to making the child sit in the closet to think about what they did. Spanking the child and making the child sit in the closet, and then compounding punishment on top of punishment.
You have 1 minute left.
That the child does. You punish that child for even laughing too loud. Anything that child does that irritates the parent, or the parent feel like that child is being disobedient. And the reason I'm talking about child abuse is because the dynamics of what happens in the home is what our society is made up of. Whatever types of households we have is what makes up our community. I would like you to reflect upon that for a moment, because our empathy, our lack of empathy, our compassion and incompassion.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Yeah, so Reggie got cut off right there at a very dynamic point, really, like abuse in the home. What does that even look like? Okay, so I'll even go so far to say I do not believe a lot of kids are being I don't want to say unloved in their home. The majority of Black kids are getting love, but that love comes with the contingent that those children have to bear witness and be the bearers and the forebearers of the abuse that comes with that love. And that comes from the trauma that cycles in our neighborhoods, right? And I'm getting Reggie back on the line now, but I was speaking to one of my mentors. We had a conversation, and he was like, you know, my son is a good kid. You know what I'm saying? My son does his work. He pays attention to the emotional needs of his mother. You know what I'm saying? He understands. He has an understanding of certain things. He does what he's supposed to do, and he feels as if and believes, right? Reggie, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yeah, so he feels and he believes that his son, and his son also believes that, you know, I should be able to, play my video games. I should be able to reap the benefits of this. But what his mother does as an antagonist in this, and this is not to say that his mother doesn't love him, but for her, right, she has this dynamic of control over her son's life because it was taught to her. You know what I'm saying? So she'll be like, out of the blue, because maybe he left a dish in the sink, right? She'll be like, oh, now you can't play the game. You know what I'm saying? And he'll go wash the dish, or he'll go do something to try to revamp the situation, but then she'll try to prolong whatever punishment that she said, because she calls herself so-called laying the foot down, but this is a good kid, okay? And then we had the conversation and the point that my mentor was trying to make was, okay, now what happens when my son, my good son, gets sick and tired of all of the unruliness, and he deems his mother kind of in a sense that, like, her opinion or her justification for what she's doing is unjustifiable to him. So now he starts to sneak and play the game, or he starts to sneak and do the things that he wants to do because he has to, for some level, he, as a child, he has to decompress from school, from the pressures at home, from friends and having friends and the things that come with having friends, that child has a life too. You know what I'm saying? So what happens when we are turning good kids into kids that are starting to have to equip with different behaviors that are not conducive to being, you know what I'm saying? That kid starts to become sneaky. That kid starts to lie to get the things that he wants. And it's so important to be able to handle those things as a parent. And this is why a lot of parents don't know truthfully what their kids are into, and why sometimes they be like, no, my kid is a good kid. He would never steal. But you don't know that you raised your kid on a dynamic of where he adapted this two-sided personality because he was trying to adjust and to compensate for himself and the needs that he wanted because of the way you were treating him and the level of control that you tried to have over his life. So now he's living a double life almost. You know what I'm saying? We don't think about these type of dynamics that we create ourselves because of the unhealed trauma that we have and we pass along to our children. I'll give you one more example, and I'm going to pass it back to Reggie. We got 20 minutes, okay? One more example is, and this happened recently, I think yesterday. I'm outside, and I see a little kid outside. She couldn't be no more than maybe 3-4 years old. Maybe she may have been 5, maybe just short, you know what I'm saying? And she's outside talking to herself. Now, this is something that I don't put past kids. Kids talk to themselves. They have imaginary friends. There's nothing wrong with these kids. They don't need medication. They're hyperactive. They have, and when I say they have conversations with themselves, I mean, they having full-blown conversations with themselves. This ain't the typical adult conversation. This is like, I'm acting out stuff. I think somebody really heard. And even though I know I'm still talking to myself, I'm in full character mode. And that's how children are, right? But then I tune in to what the kid is saying. The girl is pretending like she is into it with somebody. Like she grown and she having a grown ass conversation with somebody else and y'all into it and y'all like going at it. So she beating on the ground like she fighting and she like, think about what this kid is telling us, the world. You know what I'm saying? Her imagination is not even a safe space for her to confide in and be in. It's treacherous there too. Like even her imagination, right? And this is because she's picking up the culture and the dynamic of the people she's around, right? She's always at this house with this very old lady. This lady got to be in her 80s, maybe 70s. She's always drunk. She's always on her front porch cussing somebody out. But that baby grew up around that adult. That the baby was over there. I've seen that baby grow up from the past, since the past like 2-3 years they lived there. She's always at that house, right? We got to understand that we are passing that along to the kids, and the kids are picking it up, and it is developing their psyche, y'all. And we're making it unsafe for them to be anywhere. They can't even be in their own imagination safely. They fighting in their imagination, y'all. All right, I'm going to pass it back to Reggie.
I'm saying this both of us, and we thank y'all for tuning in, and thank y'all for taking out the time to go read the blog and look at the blog. And if you want to call in to the switchboard at 657-383-1630. That's 657-383-1630. And I love those examples. Because one good thing that I took a break on and would like people to reflect on is the compassion and incapacity of what's going on in households in our community. Because inside those households, that's what's going on inside those households make up the whole of our community and our civilization. So when we're raising these children, what are we trying to raise them into? if we beating on them, then we're teaching them violence.
Yeah.
What are we teaching the child? And that's why I say I'm on the fence about it, because somewhere we've got a whole lot wrong. And we don't want to look at what we've got wrong, because now we have to look at how we was raised. Now we have to look at our parents in a way when it comes to their mistakes. And look at their mistakes as they wrong. Our parents is wrong, and as I'm wrong, something wrong with me.
Yep.
It needs to be corrected.
Yep.
So that I don't pass this on. Because you will pass that on. That violent attitude of that there's victims in this world. You have victimizers and people who are victimized. Which one do I want to be? Because I don't get to be both. I'm going to be a victim. I'm going to be somebody that's victimized. And there's people that live by that. And it starts a lot of times with some psychics. Especially when punishment is not properly administered. Like you gave an example with a little girl. I'm like this. I shouldn't have to spank a child. I should be able to outthink a child. And she's seeing examples of violence where she picking that up. She might be picking, you can blame it on the internet and say that she think, oh, she getting that from the internet. She ain't getting that from home.
Right.
Think back.
Right.
Did you set that example? Because I'm going to follow the people that's close to me quicker than people I don't know.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what's going on in her home? And what kind of society do we have when we can't check up on our neighbors and talk to our neighbors and seek our neighbors' help? How selfish have we become in the society we've created? And this is dangerous, because violence begets violence. I walk away from a lot of conflicts, right? I block them and shut them off before they turn into serious conflicts. And I've learned to walk away from things that I didn't used to walk away from. And get an understanding with a person. And I don't think the situation can keep... I'm saying I'm 51 years old now. I learned this because I chose to shift away from the violence that my childhood taught me. Not necessarily in the house. I said I was spanked as a child. And when I reached the age of 13, my parents started talking to me because I stopped crying when I got spanked. They said, okay, well, now it's time for my treat. And when I started getting them lectures for like an hour, when I started getting them an hour, 2 hour lectures, I was like, man, can we go back to the spanking?
Oh my goodness, Reggie, I remember the moment, and this is probably the last spanking I ever got to, was when I did not cry. Oh my goodness, yes. Yes, Reggie, yes.
From a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
And being able to tolerate that.
I know, right? And they hit you with all you got, but for some reason, all you got is your face scrunched up, and you're just trying to, I don't know what it was, but for whatever reason, I was not fazed by the whooping. I was like, man, you're going to have to come. We're going to have to figure something else out, because these whoopings don't hurt no more. I'm not going to let them hurt no more. And that was probably my last whooping, for real.
And another reason I'm saying I learned a lot not to do a lot of things. I learned to listen to my parents and respect my parents. That's like, I've never smoked, I used to smoke cigarettes. I never smoked in front of my mother. That's because of some deep-seated respect. I didn't even crave a cigarette when I was around my mother. That's my not like didn't think much, but the cigarette was like the first thing to my mind. But as soon as I was away from it, he craved a cane. But that and I question, do that respect come from the woman's, or did that respect come from my mother being so respectable? And my mother is one of those people that ain't never drank, ain't never smoked, I don't even think she ever had a traffic ticket. Because whenever we did accidentally get pulled over by the police, they're like, oh, sorry, ma'am, we didn't mean to bother you. Because I'm saying her driving record is so pristine. And they knew that they would bother her and speed trap cords and stuff. But yeah, we should get out and take our kids. And for another reason, I'm on the fence about whooping, and this is something for black people to really think about. Or the idea of whooping, gaining obedience from your children, yeah, I'm going there, is a remnant of the slave master beating us. And us following that example to gain compliance from our children.
Exactly.
So what are we beating out of our children?
Exactly.
What compassion did we lose in those beatings?
We're beating the love out of our children. I'm going to tell you what it is. Beating it out of us. We are instilling fear. The fear complex. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What's the fear complex?
The fear complex is the complex that you learn in Sunday school where they tell you God is a righteous God, but you ought to fear God, right? It's the I don't fear nobody else but God. It's that, oh, shit, hell is hot. You know what I'm saying? It's that complex. It's like, oh, shit, God gonna send me somewhere terrible. But you gotta understand, man. Ooh, you gotta understand. And that is the cage you put yourself in. Fear is a cage that you lock yourself in because you're scared of the outside elements. So when you are fearful of like your parent and the loving and the structure that is supposed to lead you, right? Your parent can't lead you your whole life, but you're supposed to lead you for the rest of your life. You get what I'm saying? You're supposed to seek guidance and seek the understanding and the elevation of knowledge and understanding and wisdom and all of that. So if you have a fear complex of the higher power that is intrinsically yourself, right, and you fearful of that entity, you will never come out of the level of and being able to trust the unknown. So that's why you stuck in your life and the cards that are dealt with you, you become content with them. You don't never step out of that box or take those risks in life that will be able to lead you to a better life. And that's the slave mentality of you giving up your own freedom to these motherfuckers without them ever having to knock on your door no more, without them having to ring a bell and tell you it's time to go outside and work. You give up your own freedom because you're scared.
And that's the other thing, right? I want people to contemplate the flip side of this. We beat our children. People whose family don't have a history of slavery, they don't beat their children. They raise their children to expect and demand of life any and everything that they want out of life.
Yep.
And they educate their children to have the tools and ability to demand at their children as a financial investment. They invest in their children's prosperity.
Yep.
So that their children's prosperity will come to families.
Prosperity. Exactly. Yes.
And advance and develop their dominance in the community, thereby that hunger to get and receive everything that you demand of life. And that, and that's why I say you should be able to outthink the child. That's, you're telling me that you letting a blank slate in the power outthink you? If you letting a child outthink you, then something you need to go read a book, because you need to learn, get some tools today to outthink that child. And the more you teach that child to think, the more that child will figure out what they should and shouldn't do. And what are you trying to raise? What are you trying to turn this dynamic blank slate into? Because the human mind, the human brain is the most valuable commodity on this earth. What are you finna mold this blank slate into that is more powerful than the supercomputer?
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
What are you gonna do? What kind of community are you trying to live in?
You have 1 minute left.
I had somebody say, a community is a compound word. It's common unity.
Mm-hmm.
What are we commonly unifying around? Is it violence?
Yep.
Is it love and compassion? But we need to talk to each other.
Yep.
To address these issues, talk about these issues, flesh them out. And so we can leave no quarter for the wicked, vicious people who want us to join them in their hatred and violence.
Yep. We got 2 minutes, Reggie. You got 2 minutes.
And with that, that's one of the pathways back to our full humanity. So I thank you for listening. I hope you tune in. Pray for us. Go to the website, AA Trust Fund, and read about the African American Trust Fund.
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
All right, y'all. So I'm going to close us out. Reggie was in the middle of closing us out, but our time got cut short with him. We have a minute left. So aatrustfund.org, blog.aatrustfundcontinue.org, continue the conversation, okay? You know what I'm saying? This is all about having these conversations, getting us to these conversations, so we can say, okay, now what it is as black people, what do we want to do about this? You know what I'm saying? What do we want to do about this? We want to support the dreams of black people, okay? And what that looks like and how it is supported in this society, it first needs to be protected. Once it's protected, then it needs to be implemented. Once it's implemented, then it needs to be sustained. And finally, now that it is sustained, what does that legacy look like in the progression and the future of what it is you are trying to do and that dream, okay? We got a blueprint for this. This is all coming straight out of the AA Trust Fund, straight out of IBFA, straight out of the organizing, the young organizing in St. Louis, Missouri. This is Ground Zero with Reggie Clemens and Anaya Betts, and we are signing off. Peace.